This is Poetry on the Move, Summer Readings. In this episode, Sarah Holland Batt. Sarah Holland Batt is a senior lecturer in creative writing at QUT. Her most recent book, The Hazards, won the 2016 Prime Minister's Literary Award for Poetry. Her poems have been widely published in journals such as The New Yorker, Poetry, and elsewhere, and have been translated into several languages. She is editor of the Best Australian Poems 2017 and poetry editor of Island.
Okay, I'm going to open with a relatively recent poem that I'm actually for the first time reading off my iPhone, even though I always smirk when people read off their iPhones, so now I'm one of those poets who reads off her iPhone. Instructions for a lover. Bring me lemons and mint, a pitcher's fish bowl loaded with ice and slices of cucumber, a Tom Collins in a tumbler, the fizz of it. Give me sulphur summer heat, tarry sidewalks, a tired hydrant geysering over the street, a plane ticket to the Virgin Islands or Madrid, and Saturday langour, bed sheets wicking away sweat after sex. Buy me a highball from a hotel bar in another hemisphere. Book me a room at the Savoy or the Ritz. Play me sweet low cello or Carmen McRae. Pour me a glass of Beaujolais. Give me an argument I can sink my teeth into all week. Learn how to dig in your heels for God's sake. Slap me clean across the face with Riviera breeze. Above all, take note of everything I say. Pull me closer, push me away. Okay, I'm going to read some poems. I'm heartily sick of this book, which I shouldn't say. It's for sale this evening. But I've got a little sort of set that I keep reading, repeatedly, and so I'm going to try and change that up a bit and read some poems that don't get an airing very often. Rain, Ravello. In a small yellow room above Amalfi, I am learning blindness from the rain, which redrafts itself sheet after sheet, and is finally like and unlike nothing but other rain. Rain slanting in a slow, cramped hand, rain failing or falling emphatically. Rain in quick chromatics, rain in light-fingered counterpoint to the murderous spring. Everything that can be lost is lost. Somewhere in the lemon trees, a mourning dove sings privately. Art is not enough, not nearly enough, in a world not magnified by love. This third poem is about a very weird science experiment. I keep reading it, hoping someone in the audience will have experienced this, and no one really has. So we had a science teacher in about grade three who made us collect all of these mushrooms, put them on sheets overnight, and then look at the patterns. Anyone? Oh, Canberra's my town. Okay. We can discuss what that was for afterwards, because I'm still a bit baffled by it. But it sort of mystified and interested me, this experiment. This poem is about that. It's called Botany. With thanks to my science teacher. Botany. After the rain, we went out in pairs to hunt the caps that budded at night. Wet handfuls of wax tips and widows, lawyers' wigs, a doubled ring yellow. We shook them out onto gridded sheets, the girls more careful than the boys, penciled notes on their size and shape, then levelled a wood press over their heads. Overnight, they dropped scatter patterns in dot and dash, spindles and asterisks that stained the page with smoky rings, blush and blot, cold dust blooms. In that slow black snow of spores, I saw a woodcut winter cart and horse careen off course, the dull crash of iron and ash, wheels unravelling. All day, a smell of loam hung overhead. We bent like clairvoyants at our desks, trying to divine the message left in all those little deaths, the dark, childless stars. This next poem is for my father, who's had Parkinson's disease for 17 years. And one of the side effects of that is that you lose the capacity to control your musculature. And my father used to be, he's a bit of an autodidact, he used to play a lot of instruments, including several brass instruments, and that capacity disappears with the disease, this progression. And this poem is called Embouchure, and that's the name for the way you hold your lips against the mouthpiece of a brass instrument. Embouchure. Funnel and funeral lily. My father's trumpet nestles in blue velvet. An oiled ear of steam whistle metal. Sunflower brassy, it arranges its cornucopia of air in still life pall. A horn of plenty, utterly empty, mute and boldly bald. The mouthpiece gropes in perpetual O. No breath to moo out a yellow lone post or blast a rat-a-tat retort like knuckles on doorknob. Embouchure, the word is, you hold the neck with a death grip and force lips in hard kiss against it. Tulip tall, my father used to pace our hall slate, playing boiled Brubeck jazz, penny bright as a showgirl's tassel. Now he cannot raise the breath and instead bends underwater vowels from it, whales carving, then strands the golden knot in the instrument case. He will not hold his face still enough. He will not hold his face. The next poem I'll read is also a more recent one. I spent many years living in Colorado, and this is one of those poems that sets sort of between two continents. Light years. All summer, the northern flickers are a kind of woodpecker. Light years. All summer the northern flickers hammered our conservatory, pitting the cedar cladding with inconsolable ovals. They let the wind in, battered, our house flexed. My father climbed a ladder, meshed the eaves. No difference, nothing could stop them. From the upstairs window seat, I could see the volcanic surge of their red cheeks working, working. I knew how it felt to want to drill to the center of the earth, tunnel to the old world. All summer, I sent letters to a continent so distant it made me think of physics. The Pacific spread out, its impossible witness like light years, a curvature I could not measure. I knew I was farther away than time, that when I re-entered my hemisphere, I would be changed, estranged by all that moon dust. Outdoors, the birds nail-gunned on. The damage spread. By fall, my accent shifted. Mountain vowels crept in. Nouns curled in my mouth. Finally, we called a man who set traps, mounted a false hawk on the roof. The day the hawk came, I watched the flickers hover in terror, then shear away, nerves shot. Then it was winter. Snow loomed, and they flew south for good. I waited to feel the change. Everywhere, the dark holes grew. How am I doing for time? Another couple more. I've got maybe two more. Change of pace. These are all really unrelenting. Sorry about that. I should read a funny poem, but I don't write them, so I can't. This poem is a kind of quite terrible poem. It's a love poem, end of love poem, that features a serial killer at the three-quarter mark. I'm no longer in that relationship. The Atlantic. Bombed on old fashions, at three, at four, you snore beside me like a bull, cocooned in puritanical grey flannel. I twitch out the early hours to the methodical clip of your heirloom watch, my face buckled to your wrist, a flaw in Burberry glass. Beside the bed, your peacoat and pocket square slump, limp as evidence. We will wound each other yet. Old friend, You were right when you said, this can't go on. Still, I find your all-American jaw in the dark and thumb its edge. It drags against my palm like a panther's tongue. No balm for the blade. The weekday shaving lotion you slather skulks behind the bathroom mirror, creamy as money. My mind strands on the rocks of your cropped New England vowels, your cock of the walk brag about the brood you plan to raise, the faint praise you gave when you said I was a perfect cocktail date, the kind of girl smart enough to just let talk. Now you lord it in a blue blood job that will make you a millionaire by 40, if only I could wait. Yesterday's time said more body parts washed in at Oak Beach. Long Island Sound serial killer stalks his hunting grounds while we sleep. Nobody knows who he is or where he lives, but we are safe here from his atrophied love. Last week, a jogger found a pair of hands tumbling in the sand, dumb as tongues. The sweat strangles. I feel your breath at my neck roll to the cold side of the bed. Two hands. Last summer, we swam so far out in the Atlantic, we struck a rip and scissored our legs in the salt as Montauk went to blue darker than ink. Now you pinion my shoulder like an anchor and knead me from deep in your dream. Something will have us in the end. It's kind of a funny poem, apparently. Okay, think I will close. I'll close with this poem. I always read this poem recently. It's a weird ode to California. Oh, California. I want to wake in the lagoon of the sky, where sunlight binds the mutilated palm tree dawn like duct tape, an aerial shot rolling and rolling out of town in the muffled trunk of a brown panel van along the death roads, the desert roads, the hairpin turns, California, the desert silvering in my eye like a coyote. I want to swim in the jewel jade pool of your lonesome foothill vowels, stretch out under the mirroring clouds like a million rooftop deck chairs, feel that blankness unfurl in my mind like luxury, California, your beautiful blankness, your sheen. Oh, shake me a Basil Gimlet at Silver Lake and tell me about your tattoos, hermana, how death is that bad tooth wobbling in my head. In my head, California, that skyline that breaks into backdrop hills I know like nostalgia, pink saguaro and sumac, the ripe berries smashed like bodies, each ragged cactus cross hoisting up against a silver desert screen, California, a night that goes on like a drive-in, palms exploding like napalm, fireworking over everything. I want to ride the long, smooth, tan body of California. I want to eat the bear of the flag of California. I want to roll like a corpse off the highway of your chase scenes. I want my perfect teeth preserved, California. My teeth buried in the earth like a curse, California. And won't you show me where the bodies are kept, California? Won't you show me, show me, show me? Thank you.
That was Sarah Holland Batt. Poetry on the Move is supported by IPSI, the International Poetry Studies Institute, at the Centre for Creative and Cultural Research at the University of Canberra. Thank you for listening.